This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. North Korea says the U.S. allowing South Korea to build more powerful missiles was an example of the U.S.'s hostile policy against the North and could lead to instability. It's North Korea's first response to the summit between U.S. President Joe Biden and South Korea's leader. At the summit, the U.S. ended decades-long restrictions that capped South Korea's missile development. The accusation that U.S. policy is hostile to North Korea matters because it said it won't return to talks as long as U.S. hostility persists. But the latest statement was still attributed to a commentator, not a government body, suggesting North Korea may still want to leave room for potential diplomacy. U.S. President Joe Biden marked his first Memorial Day weekend as Commander-in-Chief by honoring the nation's sacrifices in a deeply personal manner. He paid tribute to those lost while remembering his late son, Beau, a veteran who died 6 years ago to the day. As a cold rain fell, Biden made his annual appearance at the commemoration in Newcastle, Delaware, not far from his Wilmington home. On Monday, he plans to do the same at Arlington National Cemetery on the official observance. The death of Beau Biden from brain cancer at age 46 is ever present for his father, and the loss has defined much of the president's worldview. President Biden pledged Sunday to tell Russian leader Vladimir Putin at their June summit that Washington will not let Moscow abuse human rights. The upcoming face-to-face meeting with the Kremlin leader comes amid levels of tension not seen for years with Washington, recently dialing back ambitions to little more than establishing a relationship in which both sides understand each other and can work together in specific areas. This is VOA News. A former ally of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that he will seek to form a coalition government with the Israeli leader's opponents. The dramatic announcement marks a major step toward ending the rule of the longtime premier, and Netanyahu could find himself in the opposition in the coming week. While Naftali Bennett and his new partner still face some obstacles, sides appear to be serious about reaching a deal and ending the deadlock that has plunged the country into four elections in the past 2 years. Negotiating teams face a Wednesday deadline for reaching a deal. Egypt's foreign minister met with his Israeli counterpart on Sunday in Cairo amid efforts to build on a ceasefire reached between Israel and Hamas a week ago. Egypt is working with the United States and other regional partners towards reinforcing the ceasefire it brokered between Israel and Palestinian militants, facilitated in part due to its longstanding relationships with both sides. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said that he wants the G7 group of rich nations to agree on a plan that would see everyone around the world vaccinated against COVID-19 by the end of 2022. In an interview with CBC News in Canada, Johnson also called for a global treaty on pandemic preparedness at next month's meeting, which will be hosted in the UK. The British leader said the G7 nation should consider so-called vaccine passports and COVID status certification at their meeting, which Johnson sees as playing a great role in reopening international travel. Johnson will host the meeting of the G7 heads of government in the southwest county of Cornwall between June 11th and 13th. The German government is following up on media reports that coronavirus test centers across the country have overbilled authorities for the number of tests taken. Germans are allowed one free citizen test per week to check if they are negative for coronavirus. They can use the result to be able to dine at outside restaurants, go shopping, or visit cultural institutions. In recent weeks, thousands of antigen test centers have popped up everywhere in cities and towns and empty storefronts, closed dance clubs or community centers. Several media have reported that the test center operators are illegally billing for more tests than they actually take. Three suspects in Italy's cable car disaster have left prison after a judge indicated that for now, most of the blame fell on the service technician who intentionally disabled the car's brake because it kept locking spontaneously. 14 people were killed on May 23rd. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.